The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
He talks about these great trade deals. You know, he talks about the art of the deal. China's perfected the art of the steal. We have a higher deficit with China now than we did before. We have the highest trade deficit
China
with Mexico.
China ate your lunch. That right, 8%. China ate your lunch, Joe. And no wonder your son goes in and he takes out billions of dollars to manage. He makes millions of dollars. And also, just out of curiosity, the mayor of Moscow's wife gave your son $3.5 million. What did he do to deserve it? What did he do with Burisma to deserve $183,000?
None of that is true.
Well, really, $3.5 million?
Mr. President, please.
Totally discredited. And by the way,
He didn't get $3.5 million, Joe?
Mr. Vice
President. He got $3.5 million.
It is not true.
Oh, really?
Mr. President, it's an open discussion. Please.
It's a fact.
Well, you have raised an issue. Let the Vice
totally
President answer.
Discredited.
Did Burisma pay him $183,000 a month with no experience in energy?
Mr. President,
my son did nothing wrong at Burisma.
I think he did.
Mr. President, let him answer.
He doesn't want to let me answer because he knows I have the truth.
You get the final word, Mr.
Well, it's hard to get any word in with this clown. Excuse me.
Let me just say to you.
No. I'm Mr. President.
$3.5 million, Joe.
That is simply.
Why did he deserve $3.5 million from Moscow?
Look, here's the deal. We want to talk about families and ethics. I don't want to do that. I mean, his family, we could talk about all night. His family's already.
My family lost a fortune by coming down and helping us with government.
That's, of course, from 2020, one of the debates in late September of that year. It's interesting to look back on in hindsight. Who was right? Who actually was telling the truth? It's a good question in light of all the revelations that have come out since. The fact checkers correcting themselves for covering up the Hunter laptop. There he is, denying. No, there's no truth in that. We didn't take $3.5 million from the Moscow mayor's wife. And of course, they did. If this was the train wreck for the fake president, Joe Biden, in 2020, what on earth is he going to say in a debate in 2024? You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com. Just go to TrumpetDaily.com. You can watch the live stream at 11 a.m. every weekday morning in the central time zone of the United States. That's noontime on the East Coast. And of course, you can get to the live stream of this show at our Rumble channel as well. That's the Trumpet Daily. Just go to Rumble and search for the Trumpet Daily. Find our channel and you can watch every day at 11 a.m. Central Time Zone, 12 noon on the East Coast. We also replay the show every evening on Live from America. That's at 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern, Live from America TV, LFA TV, they like to call it. So go check that out. You can see the audience there, the chat that goes on over there. If you happen to join our Rumble chat, make sure that you give us a thumbs up and leave a comment if you like. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. First, though, a couple of promos as we've been doing. We've got General Michael Flynn. He's going to make an appearance here, right here on this campus in Edmond, Oklahoma, speaking at Armstrong Auditorium Monday evening, August 21st. That's just a week and a half away. So if you're anywhere near the central Oklahoma area, make sure that you go to our website. There's a nice little thumbnail in the upper left corner that can take you right to the seating arrangement where you can reserve your seats for that special presentation from General Flynn, and also a Q&A afterwards. He might even bring a bundle of his books and sign those if you're interested in that as well. Here's a little promo that we've put together for the event.
General Michael Flynn, Get ready.
Because we're bringing you back.
We showed that to the Flynn team yesterday, and they love it. They love the promo. We're trying to promote it as best we can. Ticket sales are really starting to take off, not only for this event, but for the event in the same venue the day before. That would be the encore performance of Celtic Throne. Tickets for that also selling fast, just 10 or so days left to purchase your seats, your tickets for Celtic Throne. Here's a promo for that one.
Join the journey of Celtic Throne live in Edmond, Oklahoma. The riveting story of Irish dance brought to life with sensational music.
Absolutely brilliant.
Award-winning Irish dancers.
Just impressed with their physical condition. They're in amazing shape.
Electrifying family entertainment.
Fantastic. Awesome. I would love to see it again.
Experience Celtic Throne. Encore performance Sunday, August 20th at Armstrong Auditorium in Edmond. Get your tickets at CelticThrone.com.
CelticThrone.com, or if you want tickets for the Flynn engagement, that's at thetrumpet.com. So the encore performance is exactly that. We're actually flying some of our performers back to Edmond because we thought we finished the tour about a month ago. But because of all the excitement surrounding the Flynn visit, we thought we'd put on one more show. So, as I say, a lot to get to on today's show. Just go back to that debate for a second. There's Donald Trump saying, hey, your son's taking in millions from the CCP. You got a $3.5 million wire transfer from the wife of the mayor of Moscow. And then he tries to put it back on Trump saying, your family's corrupt. Your family got into office to enrich themselves. And Trump correctly pointing out that we lost money on this endeavor. We came into office and it was a sacrifice for our family companies. Again, who's right? Which family enriched themselves because of the offices that they fulfilled in government? Which family? Just think about it. It's so obvious now. And notice, too, in that exchange, you've got Chris Wallace there just repeatedly telling Donald Trump was the problem. Mr. Trump, now, come on. This is a discussion. You got to let him answer. And then there's the fake president calling the real president a clown. Who is the clown? He's drowning away. And as I say, that's a debate in 2020. And of course, there's Chris Wallace to throw him a life preserver. Try to save the fake president. Try to save the Biden crime family. How dare Donald Trump bring up the $3.5 million transfer in a presidential debate, after all? I mean, the regime media had covered that up. They had censored those kinds of messages going out from the New York Post or Rudy Giuliani or wherever. Turns out Giuliani and Trump were right. This is from Paul Sperry at Real Clear Investigations. For the second time in 3 years, the Washington Post has quietly updated, they've got that in quotes, one of the most consequential fact checks in the history of American politics. In October 2020, in its October 2020 article, undercutting reports that Hunter Biden arranged a dinner meeting between one of his foreign business clients and his father, who was then Vice President of the United States. Sperry says here, the original article by WaPo chief fact checker Glenn Kessler was published the same day as the New York Post pre-election scoop revealing that Joe Biden had attended a 2015 dinner with a top executive of a Ukrainian energy firm, Burisma, which was paying his son $83,000 per month. Trump pointed that out in the debate, right? But here comes the Washington Post to fact check that. It says Kessler's fact check involved interviews with a host of Biden aides who vehemently disputed the vice president's attendance at the dinner and advanced the theory that the source of the information, a laptop Hunter had abandoned at a Delaware repair shop, was untrustworthy and possibly a Russian plant. So Kessler, he's like the lead fact checker at Washington Post, owned by Jeff Bezos. We'll get to Bezos later if we have time. We've got so much information to get through. It should be a two-hour show today. But Kessler to fact check the New York Post, Rudy Giuliani, and Donald Trump, he went to Joe Biden's aides. That's who he turned to for the facts. And all of the aides vehemently disagreed. They said, no, the Hunter laptop is Russian disinformation. So Kessler's happy to print that as his fact check piece. And listen to this. It says the conspiracy theory was quickly embraced by 51 former intelligence officials. This is how many people were in on it. The lie, the big lie, it says here, who signed an open letter dismissing the Post scoop as having all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. This letter and the Washington Post fact check were used by the Biden campaign, other media outlets, and social media platforms to discredit the information contained on the laptop in the final days of the campaign. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. They're so concerned about the spread of misinformation. Look, they've got a whole indictment basically going after Trump because of what he said about the election steal. You can't spread disinformation. So they're trying to throw him in prison for this. Here, the Washington Post has come out and quietly updated this fact check because it was total misinformation. It was complete propaganda. But listen to this. The article, speaking of the fact check article in 2020, Kessler would later boast, he would boast about it, was one of the most read articles in our 13-year history of the fact-checking feature. It was one of the most read, and it was nothing but a big fat lie. They lied about the laptop. The intelligence officials got in on it too. They lied, they smeared Trump, they smeared Giuliani, and they covered up the laptop, and they said it was Russian disinformation. And now we see, as the Washington Post tries to quietly correct its record, we see that it was actually the Washington Post and others spreading misinformation, spreading disinformation, spreading propaganda, spreading lies and deceit. Sperry says, but Kessler's fact check has not aged well. Just last week, Hunter Biden's former business partner, Devin Archer, testified before Congress that the article was not correct reporting. Archer said, yeah, what Kessler said there in the fact check wasn't true. Finally, it says here, instead of retracting the article, as the Post did with some of its debunked Russiagate coverage, or running a straightforward correction, the paper has appended a series of updates to its reporting. We've got a few updates to bring you. What we said, it actually was Hunter's laptop. They actually did get the wire transfers from all of these oligarchs around the world. We've got a little bit of egg on our face, but we're not really going to say that. I mean, we're just going to dust it up a little bit and move on. James Comer, I didn't have time to get to this yesterday, but James Comer, he comes out with, I think it's the third report or memo on all of these wire transfers coming into the Biden crime family. I mean, this is just unbelievable. A 19-page memo, which provides screenshots of redacted bank records, says millions in payments came from Ukrainian energy company Burisma, as well as Russian oligarch Yelena Batyrina. That's the one that Donald Trump exposed in that debate. Yeah, she's the wife of the Moscow mayor, or who was the Moscow mayor. And from a Kazakhstani oligarch, Kenyas Rakishev, and that then Vice President Biden attended dinners with Burisma, Rakishev, and a representative for Rakishev and a representative for Burisma. The big guy, assuming that's Joe, what if it's Obama? You know, what's interesting is Hunter, in some of these text messages and emails, he complained about having to give a 50% cut to his father, Joe. And then there's the other messaging where there was the 10% cut for the big guy. I mean, that kind of suggests that maybe the big guy and Joe Biden are different. I don't know. Maybe we'll learn more about that as we go forward. There's a piece in the Chicago Sun-Times from this week saying that Barack Obama's foundation, which he started back in 2014, it's raked in $1.1 billion in less than 10 years. Obama's essentially a billionaire. I mean, he can hide behind the fact that, well, this is for the foundation and we're going to build libraries and this and that. But I mean, he's given Valerie Jarrett and others a hefty pay raise. Why not? I mean, they've got money flowing in. They had about $300 million come in just last year. What a lucrative, who's benefiting from their time in office? Obama's never had a real job. Even when he was president, he was just there to destroy and dismantle, fundamentally transform the United States of America. Kessler's, well, moving on. This is the Fox News piece. Then Vice President Biden met in person for significant periods of time with those individuals or their representatives. This is quoting from Comer's memo the other day. Vice President Biden joined approximately 20 phone calls on speakerphone with Hunter Biden's foreign business associates. I mean, he practically wrote a love letter to Devin Archer saying, hey, it's great getting to know you. Hope we can do business with you again. That was back before Bo died, by the way. It says here, Joe Biden, the brand, was the only product the Bidens sold. They were selling influence. And really, influence kind of sugarcoats it. They were selling America. They were just selling America down the river. That's what it amounts to. They're traitors, every one of them. And then they accuse Donald Trump of being a traitor. They enrich themselves off the offices of government in the United States. And they accuse Donald Trump of enriching himself off of the office of presidency. They accuse Donald Trump of a pay-to-play scheme in Ukraine, even as they carry one out in the plain of day. I mean, in 2018, Joe Biden bragged about it. Yeah, we withheld the billion until they fired Shokin because Shokin was going after Burisma. We'll get to who Shokin was replaced with in just a little bit, again, if we have time. Time is flying already. It says here, the Third Bank Records Memorandum. This is the third memo. There's more to come. And as Comer pointed out yesterday, why are the Biden people kicking and screaming and doing everything that they can to prevent more bank records from ever seeing the light of day? Because they have a lot to hide. That's why. The third memo follows two previous memos tying Biden family members to payments linked to entities in China and Romania. The committee says the foreign payments to the Biden family now total over $20 million. And look, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you can't. You got four mansions and you're buying Corvettes and Porsches. You're paying for cocaine and prostitutes. $20 million is going to evaporate away pretty quickly. Paying rent on houses for $20,000 a month or $50,000 a month in the case of Hunter more recently. How do you afford that on even a president's salary of, what, $400,000? A senator's about half that, I think. How do you pay for all those mansions? Well, it really helps when you've got the wife of the mayor of Moscow wiring you $3.5 million. And then just a short time later, she's yucking it up with the vice president of the United States at Cafe Milano in D.C. The ritziest restaurant perhaps there is in that city. One of them for sure. Yeah, yucking all kinds of other oligarchs in attendance too. Listen to Joe Biden maintaining, this is the exchange, I think, with Peter Ducey yesterday, clip six.
There's this testimony now where one of your son's former business associates is claiming that you were on speakerphone a lot with them, talking business. Is that what?
Never talk business with anybody. And I know you'd have a lousy question.
Well, why is that a lousy question?
Because it's not true.
It's not true. He wasn't on the speakerphone with the business associates of Hunter. He wasn't involved in the family business, not at all. He just continues to lie. I suppose when we ask how will he do in the next debate, he'll probably just continue to lie. That's not true, even though Comer's people have now discovered the receipts. I mean, this third memo that they released, it comes with pictures of bank records, bank statements. Even when you show them the evidence, even when you show them the video, you know, Sam brought up just as far as everything they're guilty of, they project. It's almost like they don't even have any creativity. I mean, this is just like the devil. here they come out with this. They come out with this dirty dossier. All of this seedy behavior, accusing Trump and his entourage of just the most disgusting and vile behavior. And really, that's Hunter. That's the laptop. And that's real. That actually happened. And as I say, it's the Biden people. It's the Obama people. It's the Clinton people that are benefiting from that office. Pay to play. Selling America down the river. Selling political favors in return for cash money. Treason. Top to bottom. Fox News says the committee provided screenshots of bank records. They say demonstrate that Batarina, the widow of former Moscow mayor Luskov, wired $3.5 million to Rosemont Seneca on February 14th, 2014. And I should note, again, that's before Bo died. So all of this, hey, we just had a lot of communication on the speakerphone with some of the business associates talking about the weather and just making sure, you know, making sure Hunter's okay because of Bo's death. A lot of this, it was in motion in 2012. Bo died in 2015, okay? And then he even lies about that to all of these veterans, these families of slain soldiers going up to the one mother, one of the 13 in Afghanistan, that was blown to bits by a suicide bomber because of Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal. And Biden says to her, yeah, my son died in Iraq as well, brought him back in a flag-draped coffin. He died at Walter Reed of cancer, and the Bidens were there at the bedside when he died. They just lie and lie and lie. What about the $3.5 million? That's been discredited. That's disproved. There's no truth to that. I have the truth, said Biden in 2020. Really? Who's the clown? It says here, the total, then a total of $2.7 million was transferred to Rosemont, which Hunter co-owned with Archer. And then the memo said Biden attended a dinner in the spring of 2014. So he gets the payment from the Moscow lady. He gets the payment on February 14th, 2014. And then Biden attended a dinner in the spring of 2014. So just a few weeks later, with Batarina, Hunter, and others at Cafe Milano in Washington, D.C. So she paid the money. You know, she stays off all of the sanctions lists. And then she gets a nice dinner with the Vice President of the United States. She paid up, and the Biden crime family played up. It says here, earlier this year, in D.C., during his congressional interview last week, Archer said former Kazakhstan Prime Minister Karim Masimov and Kazakh oligarch Kenis Rakishev and possibly Lukovs were also in attendance. So you got people from Russia, Kazakhstan. They're just coming from all over the world. Eating at Cafe Milano in D.C. with the vice president. Earlier this year, Masimov was sentenced to 18 years behind bars for his reported role in an attempted coup. Some shady people the Bidens were associating with. It says here, Fox News previously reported that one year after the first dinner, Biden attended a second dinner in April of 2015 that included Batarina, so he met with her again, Luskov, Hunter, Archer, and Pozorysky, an executive at the Ukrainian oil gas company Burisma. Here again, they met at Cafe Milano. Finally, it says the memo Wednesday says the records provided show that on April 22nd, 2014, listen to this, Rakishev, he's the Kazakh guy, whose father-in-law was the mayor of the capital city of Astana at the time, used his Singaporean entity, Novacos Holdings, to wire $142,300 to the same Rosemont bank account, and that the next day, the exact same amount was wired out to a car dealership in New Jersey for a Fisker sports car for Hunter. He got a Porsche, basically, from this Kazakh oligarch. Or the exact same. He didn't even make it $1 less or $1 more. It was the exact same amount. Gets this Kazakh oligarch to send him the money. And then the next day, there's Hunter. But, you know, keep in mind, because the White House keeps repeating this canard. Hunter's just an ordinary American, a private citizen. If you've got any issue with the way he conducted his business, you're going to have to take it up with him. We're not going to get into that. He's an ordinary American. Really? Who gets $142,000 from some guy in Kazakhstan and then the next day wires it to a Porsche dealership in New Jersey? Listen to this from James Comer yesterday, clip two.
Why are they blocking us from more bank record, Rob? If the president's done nothing wrong, then they should allow us to see their personal bank record. I mean, you've seen the emails that showed that Hunter Biden was complaining to his daughter that he had to give half of his income to his father.
Right.
That's pretty damning evidence.
Yeah.
When his income 100% came from our adversaries around the world for influence peddling, for violating the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And his dad, now we know, was on the phone call with all 20 of these people that sent the Biden family these millions of dollars. So Joe Biden has been implicated. And if there's nothing to hide, then they should be transparent with us with their financial records and stop obstructing and intimidating our witnesses and blocking us for more bank records.
How's this for a laugh out loud headline coming from ABC News? House GOP, this is in response to Comer releasing his memo yesterday. It says House GOP releases new memo on Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings, reviving old claims. Oh, okay. Just revive. It's an old story now. I see. They covered it up when it came out. Trump knew it. Giuliani saw it. Trump exposed it. And so what did they do? They censored Trump. They censored the Post. They smeared Rudy Giuliani's reputation. They continue to do it. And here the evidence is just pouring forth like an avalanche. And this is the best ABC can do. Nothing in there about the Porsche transfer. Nothing in there about, well, hey, this vindicates Donald Trump. What he said at that debate was right. They got the money from Batarina, wired into Hunter's account. And then Batarina got the sit-downs, the dinners with the vice president. And, you know, she stayed off those sanctions lists as well. Who's colluding with Russia? Who's colluding with Ukrainian oligarchs? I mean, last week we knew it was Romania and China. Now you've got Kazakhstan. Now you've got Ukraine. Now you've got Russia. How rich for these demon-inspired traitors to go after Donald Trump and his family and to say that they were colluding with foreign nationals. The Daily Mail has another piece, similar to Fox News. There's not too many others that will cover this. They dismiss it like ABC did. They say, yeah, you know, it's old news. Here it comes again, reviving old. And they even say claims. They're not even accepting that it's true yet. They're just, here comes Comer reviving old claims. We're not even sure it's true. I mean, you've got the laptop. You've got all of this exposure. And ABC, they still just can't bring themselves to acknowledge that this is a corrupt family that sold out America. Can't do it. Listen to this from Fox News and all of Hunter's business dealings while Joe Biden was vice president. Clip 10.
We are learning more about how Hunter Biden's longtime business partner, Eric Schurin, visited the Obama White House far more than previously thought. The new review bumps the number up from 27 to 36 visits. Now, Fox has obtained a 2011 letter showing just how close then VP Biden was indeed to Archer. One line reading this: I hope I get a chance to see you again soon with Hunter.
That's what the big guy, assuming that's Joe Biden, said to Devin Archer. And then Devin Archer blows the whistle last week in congressional testimony and an interview with Tucker. And then Comer comes out with the memo yesterday, which confirms everything that Archer said. And then here, now we know it's not just 27 visits for these other associates of Hunter's. 36. They're just coming in and out of the White House like there's a revolving door for Hunter's business associates. So they're coming into the White House, and he's on the speakerphone. This is the Daily Mail. It says the new evidence backs up Archer's bombshell testimony to the committee that Hunter was raking in large amounts of cash from foreign deals and how his father, Joe, was present in person during dinner meetings and sat in on at least 20 phone calls with foreign associates. We now know the phone calls, the meetings with Batarina and all these other oligarchs at Cafe Milano and other places around the world. It says here, they show Batarina, this is further on, the wife of former Moscow mayor who has links to Vladimir Putin. Wow, that seems a little shady. I mean, isn't Putin the bad guy? Putin's the devil. I mean, that's the way they talk with respect to their full-on support for Ukraine and this war, this never-ending war amounting to tens of billions of dollars, more than 100 billion, enough to build two walls at the southern border, maybe three or four. She has ties, or her husband had ties to Vladimir Putin. How about that? Russian collusion. Going back to the pay to play. You send us the money. We know about the two $5 million transfers coming from Burisma. $5 million to Hunter, $5 million to Joe for the Biden brand. And what do they want in return? Well, you got to get rid of Shokin. Shokin was like the lead prosecutor that was in Ukraine at the time. And he was going after Burisma. He had already frozen some of the assets of the CEO. So the Burisma people, on which Hunter and Devin Archer served on the board at $83,000 per month during that 2014-2015 period. I think into 2016 as well. And then news started to spread in January of 2016 that Biden was going to go over there and withhold the $1 billion unless Shokin got fired. And well, guess what happened? He got fired. This is from the Washington Examiner. After then Vice President Joe Biden succeeded in pressuring Ukraine to remove its prosecutor, General Viktor Shokin, the next person to hold the job had ties to, you guessed it, Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden. They got the stooge installed that would back away and keep Burisma afloat. And Devin Archer just last week said, were it not for the Bidens, Burisma would have gone under. It says Yuri Lutsenko, the prosecutor general who took over for Shokin after his ouster in 2016, had relied on the same lobbyists representing Ukrainian energy company Burisma and its chief executive for years, State Department emails suggest. Hunter Biden personally brought those lobbyists into the Burisma deal in 2015 for the purpose of shutting down investigations of Burisma's chief executive, according to his own emails. It's just perfect, isn't it? You can see why they went so hard after Donald Trump in 2019 over his perfect phone call to Zelensky saying that, you know, you ought to look into these ties between the Bidens and Burisma. I mean, there's some shady dealings going on there. And I mean, the deep state, they sprung to action because Trump and his people were getting a little too close to the truth. And when they sprung to action, guess what they accused Donald Trump of doing? They accused him of a pay-to-play scheme, of a quid pro quo. They even went as far as saying Donald Trump was going to withhold funds to Ukraine unless they investigated Burisma. It's exactly what they did. Exactly. As I say, it's almost like they don't even have any creativity. Seems like, you know, in an indirect way, that it proves that what they know they're doing is illegal. They know it. Because when you project the same exact behavior on your political opponent, you're projecting it on him because you think you can send him to jail for it or get him impeached or whatever else. But these people, you see, if you're on the communist left, they've been skating free for so long and getting away with all this criminality and then lacking the creativity, I guess, to come up with something a little bit different. You would think they'd want to come up with something different just so when it comes back on them, if it does, like it is now, it wouldn't be so ridiculous. Speaking of that impeachment, what they projected on Donald Trump in 2019, ahead of that first impeachment. Eric Chiaramella, he was the mystery whistleblower. You had Alexander Vindman. He came forward with all his testimony. He was there. He heard the phone call with Zelensky. When it happened, initially, they didn't want the transcript to be released because they wanted to frame the narrative in such a way where they could get Donald Trump impeached. So then Trump releases the transcript. They've got egg on their face, and they have to kind of, you know, regroup, but then carry on based upon Chiaramella. He was a CIA analyst, a deputy national intelligence officer for Russia and Eurasia at the National Intelligence Council. He was on the National Security Council staff as the director for Ukraine. So Chiaramella, he files this whistleblower report about Trump's call with Zelensky. Evidently, Vindman tells Chiaramella. Chiaramella's at the CIA. He's very disturbed by this phone call. Yeah, I mean, this is pay to play. I mean, this is quid pro quo. This is, if you give me this, I'll give you that. This was the basis for the first impeachment that Adam Schiff and his friends ran with. This is from The Federalist. It says, Vindman was the only person at the National Security Council listening in on the infamous phone call. In fact, it was a perfect phone call, as Donald Trump often says, between President Trump and Ukraine President Zelensky. He was the one that was concerned by it, Vindman, this traitor. It says, in his complaint, the whistleblower claimed, the whistleblower being Chiaramella, the whistleblower claimed multiple White House officials with direct knowledge of the call described to him, Chiaramella, the contents of the conversation. Multiples. I mean, it's not just Vindman. Everybody heard it and was just appalled by it, I guess. That's what Chiaramella said. The description of the call appeared to come from the White House's rough transcript, which Vindman helped prepare. It was a setup. Just like the January 5 conspiracy. Donald Trump and Giuliani, they're getting really close to the truth about the Biden crime family and its operations in Ukraine. And so what do they come up with? Well, Donald Trump has all these shady operations in Ukraine. If you just back up a little ways, on January 21st, 2016, going back to the year that Shokin got fired, there was an email on January 21st, 2016, when word got out in the deep state that Biden was going to withhold the billion until Shokin got fired. So this email goes out. It's from U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Pyatt, and he addresses the email with this subject line, U.S. loan guarantee conditional on Shokin's dismissal. And then the email simply reads, buckle in. So the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, again, working for Barack Obama and Joe Biden, he says, the loan guarantee is now conditional. He's all excited, right? And then he emails his friends in the deep state and says, better buckle in. And guess who received that email? Eric Chiaramella. Can you believe this? Every single person working for Joe Obama in Ukraine or involving Ukraine, Joe Biden, remember, was the point man. They're all corrupt. They're all criminals. They're all traitors. They're all in on it. They all knew what the Biden crime family was getting away with. Barack Obama did too. And they worked to cover it all up. Isn't it amazing? That was an email from 2016. And then just two, 3 years later, who's the central player? Remember during those hearings of the impeachment when Adam Schiff pretended like he didn't know the identity of Eric Chiaramella? And then the Republicans, once they finally figured out who it was, they came close in those hearings to saying the name, and Schiff would stop him and say, wait a second, now come on. We've got to maintain his anonymity. We can't reveal his identity. What a fraud, all these people. Liars and deceivers through and through. And what does your Bible say about lies and the spirit of lies? Satan the devil is the father of lies. John 8:44, there is no truth in him. None. No truth at all. That's the way these people operate. Well, tell me, Joe, what about that $3.5 million wired from the mayor of Moscow's wife to your son Hunter's account? Well, it never happened. That's been discredited. I have the truth. It's exactly what you would expect the devil to say. And then when the devil goes on the attack and accuses you, you would think even he would be a little bit smarter, but he'll just project the very same evil and filth and criminal behavior that he's guilty of right back on you. You're the problem, you see. You're the one who's guilty. That's the way the devil operates. Revelation 12 says he's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses. How much dirt do you suppose Ukraine has on the Biden crime family? I mean, they're not going to expose it yet because they're too busy receiving tens of billions of dollars from the Biden crime family. Well, not from the Biden crime family, from U.S. taxpayers. But if this blows up, it's not going so well for Ukraine right now, by the way, the war, I mean. If this blows up, who knows? Who knows what all these oligarchs have? I mean, we already have heard from Comer's investigation that they've got tape recordings of phone calls, two of them with Joe Biden. This is from Max Abrams at Newsweek. All the compromat talk swiftly ended the moment Joe Biden became president, because surely no foreign government could have any dirt on him. This left no one to ask the obvious question: could Ukrainian officials have compromat on Joe, given all the allegations of his corruption in Ukraine? It says, despite the evidence of Biden corruption in Ukraine, the Zelensky government has not outed Joe for his sordid history in the country. But why would Zelensky need to expose Biden? At tremendous American cost, Biden is leading the largest war since World War II to help Ukraine. He has to. He has to. Zelensky has him over the barrel. Zelensky says, hey, you got to keep sending the billions, or else I'm going to expose you. I'm going to expose you as the fraud that you are. We've talked a lot about fraud on this week's programs. How about this story from the D.C. Inquirer? It says here, on Monday, reports confirmed 54-year-old former FBI agent Charles McGonigal, who investigated the 45th president, that would be Donald John Trump, and now leading 2024 presidential candidate, he investigated Trump for colluding with Russia. It says he's now set, this McGonigal guy, he's now set to plead guilty to illegally working for a Russian oligarch. How about that? For richness. Here's a guy illegally working for a Russian oligarch, and he's there in the Trump-Russia collusion investigation trying to get Trump. Trying to get Trump for what he's doing. Imagine that. It says, what's ironic and proves that everything the left has accused Trump of, they are guilty of, is that McGonigal played a crucial role in the FBI's investigation led by Robert Mueller into Russian meddling in the 2016 election, which ended up being nonsense. It says here, McGonigal was indicted in January on charges which include money laundering, violating U.S. sanctions by working for a Russian billionaire, and trying to remove himself from the U.S. sanctions list. McGonigal hid payments adding up to $225,000 from a former member of Albania's intelligence services. It says, instead of reporting his Russian contact with the FBI as he's legally required to do, he hid his connections. He covered it up. He covered up his own sins and looked for those very sins somewhere in the life or in the entourage of Donald Trump. You think about all of these people, these crime families, and what they're getting away with, and how so much of it's being exposed. It's like every day, my notes coming into today's show, about twice as thick as usual. It's just hard to keep up with. So I can't even get into Jack Smith's his secret warrant that he needed to get into Trump's Twitter account from January of 2021. For what? I mean, the tweets were public. What's he looking for? A tweet that was deleted or some of the DM messages? But he did it secretively. And then the judge to say that Trump was a flight risk. Yeah, I gave it to him. I didn't reveal it to Trump's people. I mean, this is just outrageous. Here are these investigators, quote unquote, fishing around into Donald Trump's Twitter account. And what's Elon Musk thinking, by the way? I don't know. Does he have to comply? Here comes Jack Smith with this warrant, and he does it secretly. How outrageous. You wonder what this judge in the D.C. court is going to say tomorrow with respect to what they're wrangling over on the discovery. They don't want, it's just like the January 6th committee. Here's another subject I don't have time to get into. They're destroying their documents from their year-long investigation? Why? Well, because they carefully frame the narrative. You know what the committee was made up of. Hardcore communist Democrats. Never mind what Kinzinger and Cheney say they are. They were all hardcore Democrats. First time that's ever happened. Republicans not even allowed on the committee, completely lopsided, carefully frame the narrative, tell the American people that Donald Trump is Hitler, he tried to take over the government of the United States, and then when you close the investigation because, well, the Republicans are going to get a majority, then you start destroying the information like Hillary Clinton does? You start smashing phones and scrubbing email servers? Yeah, that's what they're doing. First time this has happened is what, another unprecedented act by these corrupt, treasonous agents. Why would, hey, Adam Kinzinger, if you're so eager to get to the truth, why not turn over all of the evidence that you painstakingly went through, even as you carefully selected certain chunks from this video or this deposition or this evidence over here? Why not let the other side see everything that you had? Well, because then they'd see what you concealed, what you didn't reveal. You see how the game is played on the communist left? Frame the false narrative and then cover up the truth. This is from the Chicago Sun-Times. Fueled by two mega donors, the Obama Foundation in 2022 had its best fundraising year since its founding in 2014. Last year, I mean, Obama was just raking in the dough. He's living large at Martha's Vineyard or one of his other mansions. His foundation now has $1 billion. It says here, according to records released, Valerie Jarrett's salary jumped from $592,000 a year to $754,000. She's close to being paid $1 million a year for assisting the Dear Leader just down the street in Washington, D.C. I mean, these people are rolling in a lot of money. And then they have the audacity to say Donald Trump came into office for the money. He lost billions, at least $1 billion, just 4 years' time. Who would do that, by the way? Who would leave his real estate empire and go into public office for 4 years and be willing to lose $1 billion or $2 billion of his empire? Well, I guess Donald Trump would. Who else? Is there anybody else like that, willing to make sacrifices? Are they all like the so-called shepherds in Ezekiel 34 that are just in it to feed themselves? They're not looking to feed the sheep. They're there to feed themselves. It says here, in 2022, the foundation collected $311 million. But listen, don't you worry about this story. What you need to know is that Clarence Thomas went on a vacation with one of his rich friends, and the rich friend paid for it. So Clarence Thomas is the guy that needs to be removed. Clarence Thomas has an RV that he paid $250,000 for. These people are pulling in billions, and they're going after Clarence Thomas for a $250,000 RV? It's unbelievable. It says here in 2022, they pulled in $311 million, up from $159 million. The best year prior was $217 million. With $231 million. You know, it's interesting. That's the first year Obama's out of office. It's interesting that the final year he was in office, 2016, his foundation brings in $13 million. And then the very next year, when he steps out of office, he pulls in $231 million. How do these people just get, all of a sudden he's out of office and tens of millions of dollars come flowing in? How do you explain that? Maybe James Comer ought to look into this. He got $100 million from Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post. He's the Amazon guy. $100 million. That was his second biggest donor. Some other guy gave $125 million. $100 million from Bezos. He owns the Washington Post. And this is from the Washington Post this morning. It says, the explosive revelations this year about Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's relationship with wealthy benefactors have spurred calls for tougher ethics rules for the court. Thomas's friends and acquaintances have treated him to far-flung vacations aboard their yachts, ushered him into the premium suites at sporting events, and sent their private jets to fetch him. Well, we have one of our banks for the church. It doesn't happen much anymore, but I can remember years ago, they took us into their suite for a Thunder game. Is that illegal? They look at every tiny perk that anyone on the opposition gets, and they want to throw you in jail for it. And meanwhile, they rake in literally hundreds of millions, if not billions. You think Obama's ever been on a yacht of some wealthy donor? I believe it's happened dozens of times. But see, he's the dear leader. The dear leader can really rake it in from his lifetime of doing nothing, really. A community organizer? When has he ever even had a job? Garrow and Samuels said in that exchange there at the tablet that his goal in life was to get a private jet and just have lots of money, basically. Well, he's definitely fulfilled that. Thanks to the help of a lot of rich donors like Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos' people, they're appalled at Clarence Thomas buying an RV 24 years ago and traveling the nation when he's not in court. It says here, the Obama Foundation is now a sprawling operation with programs in Chicago and a global network reaching, according to the annual report, 152 countries and territories. Well, that's some kind of sprawling empire. Wow. Tablet, this is a follow-up to that tablet piece over at the Daily Signal about Obama's self-made myths, how that they still stand. Well, I mean, they're starting to crumble, but still. It says, the media deification of Barack Obama has really never ended. His election to the presidency in 2008 was treated as a milestone, like man landing on the moon. Allegedly objective journalists lined up in every studio and on every front page to do him homage. That's true. It wasn't journalism. It was more like idolatry. It was will worship. It was worshiping the opinions of this man who came in vowing to fundamentally transform the United States. And he's done quite a job in doing that. Look at America today. This article says, it was like Bryant Gumbel, harshly, he's talking about the media and the way they worshiped the dear leader. It was like Bryant Gumbel harshly replying in 1989 to new information about the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s adultery. Gumbel said, when the truth collides with a legend, print the legend. Gumbel fancied himself as a reporter, a journalist. When the truth collides with a legend, just go with the legend. In other words, never mind the truth. Just keep printing the myths and the lies and the deceit. You see why this book is so important? America Under Attack. Starts out with the swooning media, and then it takes you right into vetting Barack Hussein Obama. The 800 number, if you don't have a copy, it's 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.